Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. And I want to put an emphasis on that. Faith is confidence of what we are hoping for and assurance of what we do not yet see. Join me in prayer. Father God, I just pray for this word, that your word comes alive today. I pray, speak to us. I pray, use me. Yes, Lord, help me to bring forth your word, that it is a living word for us today. I just pray, God, that by faith, each of us will take hold of your word as you are speaking to us. Take hold of your word and bring it into our hearts and let it be written on our hearts. And Lord God, let your word bring life, bring change, bring the abundance that you desire to bring in our lives in the church. And Lord God, do your work today. We thank you, God, that your word will not return void. And Lord God, that today you desire to speak to your children. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, you know this. I don't have to tell you. But there's many barriers in life that we have to cross. You can think of countless times in your life. And sometimes they're not always challenges. Sometimes they're really good things, the barriers that you crossed in life. But oftentimes a barrier is going from one season into the next, crossing from one situation into a new situation. You could probably think of many times where you have crossed over into something new. Sometimes you can look back and say, I crossed over successfully. It was good. It all went well. And then other times you could probably look at it and say, it did not go so well. Or sometimes you could look at it and say, I didn't cross over at all. I came, I saw, and I left. And that's was life. There was no crossing over. You can look at a lot of things in your life, and you can look at it that way. If you've been married, right, you crossed over from one state of life to another state of life. It's not the same, right? It's not the same. There was a crossing over. When the kids came, right? When the kids came, life was different. Life changed. It was radically different. Like, it was not about just you and her and him. It just wasn't that anymore. It was about the child. And all focuses changed. It was a new season. It was the new career that you started that radically changed the way you were living life and what you were learning and what you were growing in and everything that you were focused on. Maybe it was retirement. Oh, everything really changed then. Maybe it was when the kids left that all of a sudden a radical shift had to happen in your life, and you weren't even sure if you were really enjoying that or liking that or even in agreement with all that. But it was moving forward in a different way into a new season. Maybe it was moving town to town. Like, you moved from one place, one state to another state. You didn't know anybody. You left all your friends behind, and it was starting over. It was a new season. Major changes in life begin new seasons. Sometimes we embrace it. Sometimes we run from it. We're scared of it. We're not sure about what this new season is going to bring. And it's not easy. All these are a type of crossing over into something new. You know, the greatest crossing over for each and every one of us was when we accepted the Lord Jesus as our Savior. Lord God Almighty, He is ours and we are His. We crossed over. From life to death, we crossed over. From the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. There was a radical, major crossing over from where we were, the old, into the new. This is the greatest crossing over that we could ever have experienced into new life. And now we find that we have a new calling and purpose that we find in Christ. It has changed everything. Yet when we crossed over and we had this spiritual radical change take place, did you know that the journey wasn't done yet? You probably figured that out, right? Like, it wasn't just crossing over, but when you crossed over, something new began. It began in the crossing over, and now there was a whole new life ahead of you. And with that, there were challenges ahead. You know, we somewhere along the line, you know, especially when we have that experience with Christ that was awesome and wonderful, and it was just this blessing of, wow, Lord, I feel so different, and I feel so wonderful. And I remember that when I was a teenager and I came to Christ, how awesome I felt on the inside. And yet, that was just the beginning. And what laid ahead would be a whole plethora of things. There was the good, the wonderful, and there was the challenging and the hard and the difficult, and even the bad. And sometimes it was not easy to realize that even as a Christian, I've got many barriers and things, challenges in life. You know, sometimes we do well in those new seasons and we prosper, but sometimes we struggle. And even as Christians, we can struggle. We can struggle to adapt, to change, to go forward. And sometimes it gets us thinking about easier times. When things are difficult, sometimes we do consider when we believe times were easier. And if we're not careful, we can even begin to look backwards and not ahead. You know, in the Bible, we see the scriptures talk to this. One of the greatest stories in the Bible was when the Israelites crossed over the Red Sea. Out of slavery to bondage, oppressed by Pharaoh, by the Egyptians, they were slaves. They didn't have choices. They had to slave away 7 days a week for the glory of Egypt, for the glory of Pharaoh. And yet the Lord said, come out, come out. Come out of that kingdom of oppression into this new land, this new place, this promised land that I promised your ancestors. And we see that God divides the Red Sea, leads the people out, and they had a 14-day journey to the promised land. But we know that the 14-day journey turned into a 40-year journey. Struggle and meandering in the desert. The first generation would not see the promised land. And we know, we could look back in the scriptures and we can realize, I'm not want to dig too far there. I just want to say, we know that story. There was doubt and unbelief. There was fear, so much fear of the giants in the land. They saw themselves like little grasshoppers, unable to do anything against a great big enemy. They were very fearful. And they would not believe or take God's word. They wouldn't believe in God's word. They wouldn't take God's word. They were afraid. So they couldn't do much, and they didn't trust their God to do much. They had crossed over into a new season, but they couldn't take hold of the promises that God had laid before them. So they never entered into the promises given to Abraham. But when the second generation comes, when the 40 years pass, and the Lord knows that this generation will not take hold of the promises, it's going to be for the second generations to take hold. It's the second generation that comes into the promises. And there they stand by the river. As they come and they journey to the promised land, the River Jordan lays before them. And it wasn't just the River Jordan. It was the River Jordan at flood stage that laid before them. If you know anything about the Jordan is not a very high river. You could probably, on a easy day, maybe a day in their dry period, walk across it. No problem. Wouldn't even get above your shoulders. But at flood stage, you're swimming. You're swimming above your head because the waters rise even as high as 10 feet. And there was no way during the harvest period that they were going to pass this river by. There was no way. They had an impassable object before them. But the Lord spoke to them, and the Lord said, prepare to cross. Prepare to cross, even as the river is at its highest point during the harvest time. They were to cross the Jordan River, to leave their wandering behind and to enter a new season. And this generation believed God. This generation trusted in his word and took hold of his promises. It required faith, it required perseverance, and it required devotion to God. Crossing over the Jordan took faith to believe that they could do it and those waters could stop for them to cross. The crossing was permanent. There was no going back. But there was something powerful about these waters. The waters were stopped upstream. God dammed them up around the city of Adam, it said. And they stopped flowing. But only when they stepped into the waters. It said the priest carrying the ark stepped into the waters, and there they stood in the waters. Could you imagine just standing in the waters going, what are we doing? What are we doing? Because we're not swimming across with this ark. But the Lord had spoken, and the Lord had said, stand in the waters. And it was at that point that the waters began to dry up. They were acting in faith. They were doing something in their physical being to step out and to step forward. I want to go ahead and look at Joshua 3, 1 through 5. Because they were given instruction. The Israelites were given, Joshua was given instruction. The Israelites were given instruction. And it was all about preparation and going forward. It says this, it says, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. And here's where the orders. The orders were, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits, about half a mile, between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. They were given instructions. God had to be in this. God always chooses situations where he works in the impossible. And sometimes when you face impossible situations, that's exactly where God wants to meet you, right then and right there. He says, step into the waters and watch what I'll do. And he dries up the water, and all the people, 3 million people, pass through the dry land into the promised land. It's momentous as this faith journey began, and the people said yes to God. And everything was ahead of them. And as those waters, the last person crosses over, and the ark and the priest, they step out of the riverbed, the waters flow back at flood stage. Could you imagine? Once you've crossed over into the land of giants that the first generation had spoken about, that they had feared. Now you're the second generation. You've crossed over, and what's behind you now is a river at flood stage. There's no going back. There is no going back. You have crossed over. And you know, that's how we should see our faith in Christ, our walk with God. We have crossed over, and there's no going back. The river is behind us. If you remember anything about Abraham, remember the life of Abraham. Abraham was called from his people, called from his nation, his tribe, and he was called to journey away to the promised land, to the land that God would show him he would promise to his ancestors. And Abraham was never really to go back, and he knew that. Even when he wanted to find a wife, a young lady for his son, Isaac, he sent a servant. He didn't go. He sent a servant back to his people to find a young lady to be a wife for his son. But he wouldn't go because he knew the temptations. He knew the temptations of going back, because sometimes being in that promised land was not easy when he was a sojourner amongst strangers. And so he never looked back. We need the mindset of Abraham, the mindset of the second generation Israel, where we go forward, we cross over, we go forward, and we do not look back. You know, it's not always easy to do what God's called you to do. It's not always easy to be the people of God. But there's excitement. There's excitement in the journey. There's excitement in going. And I think with Abraham, it was excitement in going. But sometimes staying where God calls you to be is not always easy. Sometimes it can be very challenging. There's always temptations to go back. For the first generation in Israel, the leeks and the onions became a temptation. Because as they were wandering in the desert, they thought about the leeks and the onions, because there was no leeks and onions in the desert. And they begin to fantasize that life was better in Egypt than it was where they were and where God was calling them to be. And they begin to get their mind on the wrong things. And they would say that one thing was better, so everything was better. And we have to be careful. We have to be careful not to be like the Israelites. Because when we hit barriers and difficulties, sometimes we can focus on that one thing that was better back then in the old life. And we're tempted to fantasize about how wonderful things were when they really weren't so wonderful. They were just that one thing. That one thing that we liked. We wanted to have those leeks and the onions. You know, God has a way out of hard places for his people. And we do come to those obstacles in life. But it requires faith. And that is so key. It never stops for every believer. It never stops to live by faith. That's why I started out with that first scripture from Hebrews. To say we must walk by faith. Things that we cannot yet see. But we're trusting in God that as he leads us, he's leading us to wonderful places. God has a way. And when we pass through the waters, there's no going back. And it doesn't help us to think about what was, because we're missing the focus on what is to be. You know, passing through the waters also speaks of baptism too. When we are baptized in Christ, the old man, the old person died. And when we came out of the waters, the resurrected new person is alive. That's who we are. That's our identity. That the old has died, the new has come, and that's how we're to live in our identity each and every day. That's how we're to live. So these waters represent several things. And let me ask you, are you living that new life today? Or do you ever get tempted by the old? Do you ever get tempted or even nostalgic about what was even before your Christian walk? The second generation let go of the old life, taking hold of the new. They listened for instructions and they were ready. They were ready to obey because the instructions were sent out to the camp. And it says, tomorrow be ready. Be ready. Be lined up. Be ready. Watching the ark, watching the priest as they enter the water. Be ready. And those are the words that were given to him. He told the people, consecrate yourselves. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. I think this is very important for the Christian life. The idea of consecrating ourselves, which means giving ourselves to God. That we are holy for him, holy unto him. It means to purify ourselves, to let go of the things of this world, to give ourselves to God for his purposes and his plans. That makes preparation. See, the word of consecrating yourself today means prepare yourself for tomorrow. You may not see anything today, but what you're doing as you consecrate yourselves is preparing for tomorrow for God to move. It's a simple word, but it is our responsibility to consecrate ourselves to cross over. At any point in place in life, we give ourselves to God. We live going towards God, not away from him. And as we go towards God, we empty ourselves of the things of this world, of anything that hinders us, any hindering thing that keeps us from the promises of God. Our preparation today makes room for God to move in our tomorrows. I think that's such a key principle. Because sometimes I believe, as believers, sometimes we want God to do everything. We say, okay, God, you move, and then I might do something. But that's not how God works. God's not doing this like, you know, God, show me a miracle. See, that's what the Pharisees did. You know, hey, Jesus, show us a miracle, and we might believe in you. Right? That was the Pharisees. They had no interest in that. It's like they were asking for a magic trick. God says, consecrate yourselves today. Give yourselves over to God and His purposes in your life. Let go of the things of the past and prepare for a tomorrow moving with God, going where He leads you to go. And too often we can be short-sighted in this area. I know I have been, and I've seen times in my own life where I've missed God. Have you seen times in your life where you miss God? Because you weren't ready to move. God was moving, but you weren't. God was moving out, and you had no plans to move with Him. This is why our consecration, our preparation is so important. Ask God for what in your life that's hindering you in any way. Is there something in your life that's hindering you? Another point is that when we do cross over, there's a development on the other side that just begins. You know, Israel was committed, they crossed over, but the work to take hold of the promised land was just begun. You know, they crossed over at the place of Jericho, and what laid ahead of them was the battle of Jericho. And so even as they cross over, they're in the land, but now they're called to take the land. It's a very active faith they're called to. They have to believe God for everything. They have to believe God to fight their battles. They have to believe God and follow the instructions of God to do exactly what they're called to do. But if they were going to be successful, they would have to do that. They would have to walk in obedience with the Lord. See, it takes faith to cross over the Jordan. It also takes faith to live in the promised land and to take hold of the promised land. It takes faith. Every day it takes faith. It's the same for us. Our Christian walk, it takes faith. You know, God was going to fight their battles, but they had to show up in the battlefield. They had to show up in the battlefield. They couldn't just sit back. God was going to give them the victory, but they by faith had to follow His instructions. It's important for us to show up in the battlefield. Now, this is where we pray. This is where we intercede. This is where we worship the Lord. This is where we give ourselves and consecrate ourselves to God. This is us seeking Him with perseverance, a perseverant faith. This is obedient when He calls us and speaks to us and says, this is my will. This is what I want you to do. We step forward into that and not back away. You know, barriers do rise up. There's barriers that keep each one of us off the battlefield. You've probably experienced these. Things like pride. Things like fear of failure. All these are barriers. How about feeling of inadequacy? Not feeling that God's going to do anything through me or can use me. Sometimes we're looking more at our lack and not at God's ability to provide. Sometimes we're longing more for the past and not living in where God is moving us. Sometimes we become indifferent due to disappointments in life. Sometimes we're operating out of an orphan spirit where somehow we don't think we're a son or daughter of God. We don't belong, and that Lord is just showing pity on us and giving us crumbs that we get at the back door. That's an orphan spirit, by the way, where we don't belong. You see, we won't show up at the battlefield. We won't walk by faith. We won't do because we believe that God's not really going to do anything. Not in our lives. So really, our calling is, Lord, help us to overcome, because that's a hindrance. Those are all hindrances. Those things must be laid aside. Those things must be laid down if we're going to overcome and do what God's calling us to do and to see God fully move and work in our lives. I want to speak about just one. I heard his testimony this week, and I thought it was very good. Everybody experiences barriers. Everybody experiences difficulties in life. Even people that, you know, pastors you see on TV, they're like, wow, they have awesome lives. They have awesome ministries. I don't know if you know who Michael and Jessica Koulianos are, Jesus Image Church in Orlando, Florida. But before Jesus Image Church, I mean, they were faithful evangelists. They were traveling and doing evangelism, and they were leading many people to Christ. But they had struggles too. They had difficulties too. Michael Koulianos talked about Jessica's debilitating insomnia. Her insomnia led her to get 2 hours of sleep a night, every night. But it led to a lot of physical problems. Even so, they were going to the emergency. We had to go a couple times. We had to go to the emergency room where her lips turned blue and she wasn't getting oxygen the way she needed to be getting because her body wasn't healthy. If you're sleeping 2 hours a night, you're not healthy. You're really unhealthy. And they didn't have the answers. They didn't have the answers. You know what it's like when you're praying about things and you don't have the answers? But you don't have to be just a nobody. You could be anybody and face difficulties and struggles. It's not based on how you feel about yourself. You see, people, everybody has struggles, even faithful servants who are doing amazing ministries. And they're walking with God, and yet they're having struggles. Now, part of this was God told them to take a break. Take a break from all ministries. Don't do any more engagements. Just stop life for a couple months and actually go to Redding, California. That was the Lord's call. And, of course, he had some connections there. He knew the pastor. He knew Bill Johnson of Bethel. And he said, okay, we're going to do that. We're not going to minister. We're not going to do anything. We're just going to go. And out of obedience and prayer, they heard that. They just went. They just went to spend a couple months at Bethel. In Reading. They said the first night they were in the Fairfield Inn, you know, that anointed place, the Fairfield Inn. And that night she got 8 hours of sleep in Reading, California, in Fairfield Inn. It wasn't the anointing of the place. You know, I mean, I know God heals people in anointed times and ministries and services, but it wasn't that. It was just their obedience. Their obedience to step into the land. You know when God calls you to step into something, when you're obedient, he meets you there? He meets you there. He doesn't meet you where you're standing right now. He meets you where he's calling you to be. He meets you in the waters where he says step into. And see, that's faith. But she got 8 hours of sleep that night, and the testimony that he says is that she slept every night 8 hours or variants of. Her insomnia was over. And of course, the rest of their time was just God resetting them. And it was, I think it was before the Jesus Image Church was, they got called to that. So a lot of what was going on in that time, in their time in Reading, but it was a resetting, it was a refiring, it was a restoring, it was rest, it was a lot of things that they needed. And God was just saying, okay, as you step forward, the first night, yep, you're getting sleep. That insomnia is gone. And now I just want you to spend this time with me. Hearing what I want for this next season of your life. This is what's so sad sometimes about the Christian life. And I know, and I say that because I have missed God at times in my life. And I know it, looking back, that I missed him. But there are things that God wants to do in our lives that we don't see because we never stepped into the place he called us to be. There's things in life that we don't see because we stay on this side of the river, and we never cross over. And you only see certain things. You only see Jericho walls fall when you cross over and you enter into the Battle of Jericho. You don't see the walls fall on the other side of the river. So the aspect of faith means you're not going to see certain things of God until you step by faith into the things that God is speaking to you. You can postulate, you can intellectualize, you can pray, you can do all sorts of things, you can do spiritual exercises, but until you step in by faith, there's just certain things you'll never see. And this is where it grieves me sometimes, because I see sometimes Christians get upset at God. God, you never did. God, you never responded. God, you know, I prayed. But listen to what God is saying. Because if he's calling you to step by faith, it's going to require you to get out of a comfort zone, to get out of that place that maybe is very familiar to you, but you got to get out of it. You know, there's one thing you know, preachers talk about don't put God in a box, right? Well, don't. God's bigger than our boxes. But there's also another thing. Don't live in a box. Because every Christian who lives in a box wants things predictable, familiar, easy, nice, and comfortable. And when we settle for that, we're not living by faith. And when we're not living by faith, we're not going to see God move. We're not going to grow. Growth happens with faith. Growth happens with moving with God, not just watching from a distance. I love to hear testimonies because those testimonies do help my faith. But it also should help me to move forward in faith and say, God, what have you called me to do? Because I know there's more. I know there's more. There's more for each one of us. There's more for each one of us. And I say that because we can't just look within. We have to look without and say, Lord, I want to step outside of my box and whatever that is. You know. You know the time when God was moving you and just percolating something in you and was calling you to take a step of faith and it just didn't feel comfortable. And because it didn't feel comfortable, you drew back. You drew away. So you never saw what God was going to do. We will have more testimonies in the Christian life as we step forward into the things of God, not really always knowing how it's going to turn out. That's the challenge of faith. We don't see it yet. We don't know. There's no guarantees. And living by faith can be uneasy and unsettling. Because now we're stepping forward in God, in His provision, in His way, in His the way He does things, and it's not predictable and can be even unsettling as now we have the flood stage waters behind us and there's no turning back. It's God's will for us to move forward with Him, not looking back, but looking ahead and looking to Him. And so, as a believer, I have to refuse fear. The fear of the unknown, the fear of my inadequacy, the fear of what if? What if God doesn't do? What if it doesn't happen when I think it should happen? I mean, it's not easy. How long did Abraham and Sarah have to wait for the promised child? Do you think they ever doubt it? Sure. Absolutely. I mean, they were barren. I mean, they were beyond childbearing age. And the only way that was going to happen was a miracle of God. So, yes, God does that. He says, I want no doubts, no doubts here. When I'm moving in such a powerful, massive way, I'm going to do a miracle that you have no doubt that it was me who did it. And there's some things in our lives that are like that too. That you have no doubt it was God. It couldn't be anything else. It had to be God. There was no other explanation. And sometimes that's the way it has to be so that we have faith in Him and nothing else. So faith equals risk, where we step out into some unknown and we can't rely on what we know. I like to rely on what I know. But God says there's more. There's more, and we have to get out of our box. God loves us, and He calls us to more. He calls us to live by faith. So we have to be careful. You know, this is probably an indication. When you're talking back to God, and the Lord is prompting some things in you, and it seems challenging. Well, if it seems challenging, that's a good indication it's God. And you come back and you look and you say, Lord, I've never done this before. We've never done this before. Lord, that's really different. I'm not sure it's you. That's really, really different. Never done this in the past. Lord, this is challenging. This is challenging. And we don't know what's out there. But that's the beauty of walking by faith. You're never alone, and God is with you, and He will work and move His plans in your life. So that's the calling for each of us. It's the calling of us as a church. You know, if we always do things like we've always done, we'll only see what we have already seen. But when God's calling us to more, expect different. Expect changes. Expect things to move and work in some unexpected ways. Psalm 138, just read these words of David. David says, "Though I am surrounded by troubles, Lord God, you protect me. You protect me from the anger of my enemies. You reach out your hand, and the power of your right hand saves me. The Lord will work out His plans for my life. For you, O God, are faithful, loving, and your love endures forever." So how much do you trust Him today? How good is He in your eyes? Can you entrust in Him all things? I do see sometimes as Christians, we'll have faith in some areas of our life, but we won't necessarily have faith in other areas. But God says the same faith that you have in one area of our life, where you've seen God move in awesome, miraculous ways. Maybe you've seen God move with provisions in your life and providing needs that you prayed about and Lord just brought miracle provisions. And you have all kinds of faith in that area. But that same faith you need for this other area in your life where maybe you've never seen God move. But it's the same faith to believe and trust that God did it in this area, He can do it in another area. And we hold to Him and we trust Him and say, "God, do it. Do it. I want to just follow you and trust you in every area of life." So I just want to close right there in our time of prayer. And you pray right where you are. "God, I'm not sure if I'm trusting you in this area, but I want to live by faith. That's what I want to be, a person of faith." And wherever God's calling you to live by faith, take the challenge and say, "Lord, I can because of what you did, and Lord, your faithfulness to me. You will work it out. As David said, the Lord will work out His plans for my life."